أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فما لكم في المنافقين فئتين والله أركسهم بما كسبوا أتريدون أن تهدوا من أضل الله ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له سبيلا. ودوا لو تكفرون كما كفروا فتكونون سواء فلا تتخذوا منهم أولياء حتى يهاجروا في سبيل الله فإن تولوا فخذوهم وقتلوهم حيث وجدتموهم ولا تتخذوا منهم وليا ولا نصيرا. إلا الذين يصلون إلى قوم بينكم وبينهم ميثاق أو جاءوكم حصرت صدورهم أن يقاتلوكم أو يقاتلوا قومهم ولو شاء الله لسلطهم عليكم فلقاتلوكم فإن اعتزلوكم فلم يقاتلوكم وألقوا إليكم السلم فما جعل الله لكم عليهم سبيلا. ستجدون آخرين يريدون أن يأمنوكم ويأمنوا قومهم كلما ردوا إلى الفتنة أركسوا فيها فإن لم يعتزلوكم ويلقوا إليكم السلم ويكفوا أيديهم فخذوهم وقتلوهم حيث ثقفتموهم وأولئكم جعلنا لكم عليهم سلطانا مبينا. We're going through Surah An-Nisa. Today, inshallah, we're going to start from ayah number 88. This section of the surah deals with the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. And there were different categories of munafiqeen during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The issue of nifaq, it's kind of a controversial one. As Muslims, we are not in this day and age supposed to judge anybody because we don't know how their heart is. So we cannot call anybody a munafiq. We cannot call anybody a hypocrite. And a munafiq, what it means is that a person outside, he says that I'm a Muslim, but inside he hides kufr and he's not a Muslim internally. So we're not allowed to tell anybody that you're a munafiq or you're a kafir and you're just pretending to be a Muslim. This is not permissible Islamically. And the ruling is, from a fiqhi and from a jurisprudence perspective, that if a person says, I'm a Muslim, then you have to accept him as such. You cannot question his motives and what the reason is for him becoming a Muslim. And there are many situations that a person could become a Muslim. For example, it's very common that a non-Muslim becomes a Muslim to get married to a Muslim lady. So the shaitan might put into our hearts, well, yes, he's just becoming a Muslim just so that he can get married. But legally and Islamically, we're not allowed to question it. We have to implement the ruling according to the zahir, or what we see in front of our eyes, and we leave the hidden and what is in his heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is known as ijra al-ahkam al-zahir. Now, there are some hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ says there are ayat of a munafiq, there are signs of a munafiq. Ayatul munafiqi thalatha, idha haddatha kadhab, wa idha wa'ada akhlaf, wa idha tumina khan, wa fi riwayatin, wa idha haddatha fajr. There are three ayat, three signs of a munafiq. The three signs are when he talks, he lies, when he makes a promise, he breaks the promise, and the third thing, when he is entrusted with something, he breaches that trust. And according to another riwayah, there are four signs of a munafiq. The fourth one was that when he when he argues, he swears and curses. So these are the signs of a munafiq, but these don't mean that a person becomes a munafiq by having these signs. Okay, so in terms of an aqidah perspective, or in terms of his belief, he would not be called a munafiq, but he is showing signs of a munafiq, or he is showing deeds that are worthy of a munafiq, but still we cannot call that person a munafiq if he has these qualities within him. So in this day and age, we cannot call anybody a munafiq. The only thing was that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could tell who is a munafiq, who is not a munafiq, and he informed the Prophet ﷺ who those people were. Initially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even inform, and towards the latter stages of Islam and during the Madani life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or towards the latter stages of the Medina life, when the jihad actually started, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the allowance of people going into warfare for defense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also disclosed the identities of some of the munafiqeen. But despite that, the Prophet ﷺ, he did not hold grudges against them. This is the strangest thing, that the Prophet ﷺ, despite the fact that these people did their best to derail Islam and the way that Islam was spreading and how Islam was being accepted by people, they tried their utmost best to derail Islam. But look at the head of the munafiqeen. When he dies, the Prophet ﷺ, he gives him his own shirt as a kafan. And his son, the munafiq son, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he comes to him and says that, you know, give me your shirt so that I can put it on him. Maybe this could be the means of his forgiveness, or through the barakah of your shirt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might have some mercy on him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him his shirt. And on top of that, he made istighfar for them. He made istighfar for these munafiqeen who passed away. He sought forgiveness from them, to a degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to reveal verses in the Quran, إِن تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. If you were to seek forgiveness 70 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not forgive them. And the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said that if I knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive their sins by me making istighfar for them a certain number of times, I would still make istighfar for them. So this was the level of mercy that the Prophet ﷺ had for these people who were the munafiqeen of the time. So this section, it talks about the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, and how they were and the things that they used to engage in, and how the Prophet ﷺ was told to deal with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا لَكُمْ فِي الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِيَتَيْنِ. That why is it that in the issue of the munafiqeen there are two groups amongst you? This situation took place at the Battle of Uhud, and the people who were participating in the tafsir of Surah Al Imran would be aware what happened at that time, that the Prophet ﷺ, he set out with about 1,000 strong army, and one third of them were the followers of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. And when the time for the battle came, he took his 300 men and came back. So from 1,000, there were now 700 or so left. And the munafiqeen basically came back. Now, the people that were left amongst the Muslims, they had a dispute amongst themselves. Some of them said that we should fight these people. Why? Because they have turned their backs upon us, and they have left us basically in trouble during this very important battle, which was the first important battle that took place after the Battle of Badr. So some of them said, no, they are people of Iman, how can we fight them? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, that how is it that amongst the people, amongst these about these munafiqeen, there are two groups amongst you, and you are arguing amongst yourselves. Wallahu arkasahum bima kasabu. The verse goes on to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy them because of what they have done. The word arkasa, there are different meanings. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, awqa'ahum, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put them into shirk because of what they have done. And Qatada says, ahlakahum. And Suddi says, adallahum, they have become astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them astray because of what they have earned. About this hadith also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, when the munafiqeen went back to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, innaha tayyiba. Medina is tayyiba. The word we use for Medina, even to this day, is what? Medina tayyiba. And this is derived from the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, innaha tayyiba wa innaha tanfil khubtha kama yanfil kira khubtha al-hadith. That Medina is a tayyib place, it's a pure place, and it gets rid of impurity, just like the furnace. When you burn something, when you burn metal, and all of the impurity gets wasted and it gets dried up, and the only thing remaining is the metal ore, the hot metal that is boiling and red hot, and it becomes in liquid form. All the rest of the impurities, they get burned away or they get filtered out. So similarly, the Prophet ﷺ said, the munafiqeen are going back, yes, but the Medina itself will get rid of this impurity of nifaq. So this took place after the battle, or during the battle of Uhud, where two groups had a difference of opinion about the munafiqeen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَهْدُوا مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهِ. Do you want to guide those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has led astray? Nobody can guide that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide. So the only thing you can do is call them, invite them, and make dua for them. But if guidance is not written for them, then there is nothing really that you can do. So أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَهْدُوا مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has misguided, then you will never find a way for him. And we've heard this many times before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides. But the real thing is that if a person doesn't want guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give a person guidance. So ultimately, it's the person's own choice, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him the tawfiq. The word tawfiq is a misinterpreted and misunderstood word also. That when a person asks for tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it mean? Tawfiq means that a person wants to do something and he strives to do something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the way easy for him. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. The person who gives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has taqwa and he believes in the good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, most certainly we will make the way towards yusra easy for him, towards Jannah or towards guidance easy for him. And the other person, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. The person who is the opposite, who denies the truth, he is a stingy person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the tawfiq towards misguidance. So a person has to want guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide that person. So when we say that Allah misguides, it is because the person himself does not want guidance. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides, you will not find a way for him. وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَاءً. They want for you to do kufr just like they have done kufr, and then you become equal in the kufr. So these munafiqeen, they're not just stopping at their own kufr, but they also want you to become kafir, and they want you to become disbelievers, so that everybody can be equal in that respect. فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ حَتَّى يُهَاجِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Don't take them as friends and helpers until they make hijrah fi sabilillah. This is the sign of a person who has iman, that that person wants to strive and do good for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who strives and he is helping out in the community, he wants good to happen in the community, he wants to promote the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a sign that he is a true believer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about the munafiqeen, that how do you know when they will become mu'mineen? You will find them that they make hijrah and they strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will do good deeds and they will promote the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people, you see them, they are being lazy and they have no kind of interest in the religion, but they are just claiming to be mu'mineen, then this is not a proof for them. You cannot be friends with them until they show in their actions what they want to do and whether they want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. So, فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ حَتَّى يُهَاجِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Don't take them as friends until they make hijrah fi sabilillah, until they start striving for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَخُذُوهُمْ وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ. But if they turn away, then you grab them, hold them wherever they are, and kill them wherever you find them. Now this is very strong warning, but, and these are the kind of ayat that are presented to show that Islam is a very barbaric religion. But as always, the answer to this is, look at the verses after it, before it, and see the right context of what the ayat are saying. So firstly, Allah says that if they turn their backs, then grab them and take them and kill them wherever you find them. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. Don't take any of them as a wali, a close friend, nor a helper. Because ultimately, they're going to turn their backs away from you anyway, because they're not sincere in helping you. They have ulterior motives and they have reasons for doing whatever they're doing, but don't take them as a friend or a helper. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an exception. In the verse before it, He said, kill them wherever you find them. But in the next verse, it says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ إِلَى قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ. Except if they reach a place, if they reach such people that between them and you there is a treaty. Okay, they go to a place where there is a treaty between the inhabitants of that land, and they stay there, they took refuge, they took political asylum, and you have a treaty with them, you're not allowed to break that treaty. Why? Because they've been protected by that land, by those people who you have a treaty with. So you cannot break your treaty, and you should not engage in warfare with those people, because now they're under their protection. So, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ. Except if they reach a place that between you and between them there is a treaty. أَوْ جَاءُوكُمْ حَصِرَتْ صُدُورُهُمْ أَنْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ أَوْ يُقَاتِلُوا قَوْمَهُمْ. Or they come to you and their hearts, they are tight. Their chests, they're tight. Meaning, they feel bad. They feel bad. Why? Because they don't want to fight you. And also, they don't want to be with you in fighting their own people. Basically, they want to take a very neutral stance. They don't want to fight you, and they don't want to fight their own people. So basically, again, we go back to this concept of jihad and fighting is generally for those people that try to oppose Islam. It's not for those people who stand on the sidelines and basically they take a neutral stance. Okay, so Allah says here that أَوْجَاءُكُمْ حَصِرَتْ صُدُورُهُمْ أَن يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ. Or they come to you and their hearts are tight, meaning their chest is tight, they feel uncomfortable about fighting you, and also they feel uncomfortable about fighting their own people by ganging up with you, by becoming part of your troops. So basically what you say to them, okay, you don't want to fight us, and you don't want to fight your own people, so just stand on the sidelines, we have no qualms with you, we have no problem with you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَسَلَّطَهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ فَلَقَاتَلُوكُمْ. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wanted, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have afflicted them upon you, inflicted them upon you. He would have made them fight against you too. So even the fact that they have a neutral stance, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put it into their hearts that they should not fight you. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wanted not to prevent them from fighting, then they would have fought against you, and you would have had to fight back against them. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَسَلَّطَهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ فَلَقَاتَلُكُمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wanted, then he could have inflicted them upon you, and they would have fought you. فَإِنِ اعْتَزَلُوكُمْ فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ وَأَلْقَوْا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمْ فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا. So, if they are staying away from you, and they did not fight you, and they are presenting you with treaties, وَأَلْقَوْا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمْ, they're presenting you with peace. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا. The wording is very, very strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given you any way against them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given you people any way against them, meaning those people have tried their best to give you peace. Okay, they don't want to adopt Islam, they don't want to become Muslims, but at the same time they don't want to fight you. They want to have a treaty with you, they want to have peace with you, so you have no right to fight against them. So again, this is very, very important, that when you're presented with ayat of jihad and qital and so on, make sure that you go back and look at those verses and find out what those verses actually say, and look at the verses before it, look at the verses after it, you will always find that there are verses which balance out that verse which seems very severe initially. Okay, so you look at the next verse, and it's telling you about peace treaties and making sure you don't fight people who have a neutral stance. So ultimately what we derive from that is that we only fight those people, even though they may be munafiqeen. But those people that take a stand against you, you have to fight against them. But those people that take a neutral stance and they don't want to fight you, then you will not bear arms against them. So, فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made for you against them a way, meaning you do not have the authority and the allowance to fight against those people. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe the other group of munafiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَتَجِدُونَ آخَرِينَ يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَأْمَنُوكُمْ وَيَأْمَنُوا قَوْمَهُمْ. You will find other people, other munafiqeen, that they want to be at peace with you, and also they want to be at peace with their people. Okay, so basically they show two faces. The munafiqeen, they show two faces. They want to be at peace with you so that you don't bother them, and also when you have, you know, spoils of war and so on, they want to be part of it. They want to be part of that distribution and they want to get some of the spoils. Okay, and when there's any trouble, they will fall back. And also when they go back to their own people, they say, no, we're actually with you. So this is what is talking about the munafiqeen that have these two faces. كُلَّمَا رُدُّوا إِلَى الْفِتْنَةِ أُرْكِسُوا فِيهَا. Whenever they are returned to the fitna, whenever they are exposed to the fitna, meaning shirk, أُرْكِسُوا فِيهَا. أُرْكِسُوا means إِنْهَمَكُوا فِيهَا. Meaning they basically, whenever they see shirk or they see an opportunity of shirk, they basically get engrossed in it. They basically indulge in that opportunity and they basically like committing shirk. So whenever they have the opportunity to get shirk and associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will avail of that opportunity. فَإِن لَمْ يَعْتَزِلُوكُمْ وَيُلْقُوا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمْ وَيُكُفُّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ فَخُذُوهُمْ وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ. Again, the condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put forth for fighting such people is, فَإِن لَمْ يَعْتَزِلُوكُمْ. If they don't stay away from you, meaning they come to fight against you. وَيُلْقُوا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمْ, meaning لَمْ يُلْقُوا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمْ. They don't present you with a peace treaty. وَيَكُفُّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ, meaning لَمْ يَكُفُّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ. They don't hold their hands, meaning against fighting against you, meaning they use their hands to fight against you. Then in that situation, فَخُذُوهُمْ وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ. Then grab them and kill them wherever you find them. وَأُولَٰئِكُمْ جَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا. For such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for you against them an open proof. Okay, the open proof is that they want to fight against you. That's the proof of the enmity. That's the proof that they don't want to become Muslim and they don't want Islam to flourish. And they are your enemies if they are bearing arms against you, so you should be allowed to also bear arms against them. But again, the ruling again in this verse also about fighting is that فَإِن لَمْ يَعْتَزِلُوكُمْ, that if they don't leave you alone, and وَيُلْقُوا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمْ, they don't give you a peace treaty, وَيَكُفُّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ, and they don't hold their hands, meaning stop their hands from fighting against you, then in that situation and only that situation you're allowed to fight against them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. The subject matter changes after that, so inshallah we'll continue with that next week. SubhanAllah.